When I say homeless person, what do you picture? The common perception of a homeless person is mostly an older male with a drinking or a drug problem who sleeps in a park or on the streets. However, the census figures show there is actually no typical homeless person. The most vulnerable groups to homelessness are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, children and older women. Now, one of the main reasons people seek support from specialist homelessness services is domestic and family violence. Today we are joined by this year's recipient of Victoria's Australian of the Year, Donna Stolzenberg. Now, Donna is also the founder and CEO of the National Homeless Collective. And this morning she joins us to talk about her lived experience of overcoming homelessness and her work in this field. Firstly, Donna, congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much, Willie. It really is such an honour to have received that and be awarded Victoria's Australian of the Year for 2021. I still can't quite believe it, but I accept it very graciously.
Do you get a little medal or like a trophy or something?
Oh, you actually get a gorgeous trophy. It's a glass trophy. Very, very heavy and, yeah, really, really stunning looking piece. It's in my cabinet in my lounge room.
Oh, beautiful. Now, you have shared your experience of being homeless previously. How did that happen to you?
Well, look, it was a long time ago, and one of the main things that I sort of take from that was the fact that after, and it was about 30 years ago, and what I sort of take from that now is that really the system and nothing much has changed since then. We would have expected that 30 years ago things were different and that if you found yourself suddenly without a home, and I found myself on a bus stop at a park bench bus stop at about 5 a.m. with nowhere to go, and I had two children, and it was very sudden. I didn't expect it would happen, but it's still happening, and that's what really is cause for concern. We still have women and children, older women, and all different sorts of people who are suddenly finding themselves without a place to live, and you know it's quite devastating that after all this time we haven't found a solution for this.
That it is amazing, right? Particularly when you say that 30 years ago, that not much has changed. When you think of the evolution of many other things in society, that is still at a similar place of services or support. It's really outstanding.
Homelessness is still accepted in society, and it really shouldn't be.
Yeah. How did you get out of it?
Look, I was lucky. I mean, this is before the time of the internet and mobile phones, so... I was actually over in Queensland. My family was in Western Australia. So I eventually made my way back to them. I did have to spend some time in a crisis accommodation facility with the kids, and then got back in touch with family. And I have a wonderful family. I was very fortunate, but not everybody does. So I managed to make my way back over to Western Australia where they are, and I was okay. But not everyone has that opportunity, and we see many people who are struggling with homelessness and struggling to find suitable, accessible and affordable accommodation.
Yeah. When did you start the National Homeless Collective, and tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, it actually started by accident, believe it or not. It wasn't something that I'd set out to do. I'm an accidental charity lady, but I used to work for a large government organisation, and I was in Sydney and at a conference, and I was out for a jog one morning, saw a gentleman who I actually thought had passed away because it was way too cold to be out there and be alive. It was 6 a.m. and I just wanted to give him a blanket, but I didn't have one. I couldn't do anything. I came back to Melbourne and started to look around at the homelessness issue that we had here, and started to do a blanket and sleeping bag drive. And after 8 weeks, we got 3,500 blankets and sleeping bags. And I became aware of a lot of other issues and things that hadn't changed since I had experienced homelessness, and decided to do away with my paid employment and start a charity and do something about it. It was 2015, March 2015 it started.
Wow. And you also run Carla Space. It's an op shop which employs women affected by domestic abuse as well.
Yeah.
What led you to add that into your initiative as well?
That came about because when we were working with people experiencing homelessness, we realised that so many of them wanted to work, were able to work, but homelessness is chaotic and no 2 days are the same. And people were locked out of employment. They weren't able to get jobs because they couldn't adhere to start and finish times like most other people can. And we decided to start a place. We had so many wonderful volunteers willing to step in So we decided to start. We didn't have any money, so we couldn't start our own retail brand. So we thought an op shop's the next best thing. We had some gorgeous donations from people, and we decided to start a place where women could come and work when it suited them. So they're paid for the hours that they work, and but nobody's fired if they can't turn up, or they have to leave early, or they have to start late. Everyone gets 15 hours available employment per week, and if they can only do two, that's fine. If they can do all 15, that's fine as well. And they navigate their way out of homelessness while staying connected to employment, connected to services, connected to people. Homelessness is isolating. It's soul-destroying. So this alleviates a lot of that problem. And also financial independence, because they're getting paid, so they're more likely to be able to get private accommodation rather than wait for social housing.
Yeah. What is one of the most impactful interactions you've had in your work? I'm sure you've had many, but is there one that kind of sticks with you?
Oh, look, it probably was, I think, the man who I saw at the park in Sydney. I never spoke to him, but the most impactful would have been not long after that was the woman that I spoke to sitting outside Flinders Street Station, who had a period and nothing to use for it. And that's where we started the period project, which was really kind of how the charity really grew. And that sliding doors moment for her, where she was sitting on the ground, had no products to use, to us being there and giving her something, then she was able to move on and see her children the next day. She had an access visit. They were in foster care. And just knowing what a difference that made for her, and how she was so unseen at that point until we'd come across her, I think that's one of the stories and the interactions that I remember out of most of them. And we have 9 sub-charities now. We started with the sleeping bags project, and then we went on to the period project, and now we have 9 that run right across the country. So they all bounce into each other. We find another issue, and then we start a project to alleviate that.
Wow. One last question before I let you go, Donna. How can we or our audience contribute to the work that you're doing?
Well, at the moment, we're in lockdown in Melbourne, where everyone's suffering. I think we were sort of having a chat before. It feels like it's the 7th or 8th year in a row that we've been in lockdown.
Yes.
We actually have a raffle. We've had some amazing raffle prizes, holidays that have been donated to us. We're going to get out of lockdown across the country. Everyone's going to want a holiday. If you go to our website, the holiday's been donated. There are 3 holidays to the Whitsundays and an amazing fishing package as well.
Ooh,
and,
okay.
So there's 4 holidays in total. If people could go and buy a ticket, one ticket pays for us to be able to provide a family with all of the essential non-perishable foods for a week. It pays for nappies and formula for a week for a baby. It pays for sanitary toiletry items for an entire family. And we receive 100% of the profits from the raffle. So that's the best way to help at the moment. Go buy a ticket. You might win the holiday.
You might win the holiday, exactly. And like you said, we are going to get out of lockdown at some point, people.
Yes.
We will link that to the show notes when we post the story as well.
Thank you.
Donna Stolzenberg, thank you so much for your time and for all your efforts. It's really, really amazing.
Thanks, Willie. It's been lovely to talk to you.